Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Who is that?
God.
God? Like, God the Father in heaven?
Yes.
I didn't mean to actually talk to somebody. I was, just repeating my daily prayer.
All right, then go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
What did you mean by that?
Hallowed?
Yes.
Well, it means, I don't know what it means. It's just part of the prayer. What does it mean?
Well, it means honored, worshipped, holy.
Wow. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Sure. Why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Not much, I guess. I just think it would be great if you got control of everything down here, like you have up there.
Well, do I have control of you?
Well, I go to church every week.
That's not what I asked. What about the bad habits? You know, those things that are in direct conflict with my will for your life?
But Lord, I'm just as good as most people in church.
But I thought you were praying for my will to be done. And it can, Josh, but it starts with ones who are praying for it, like you are.
All right. I guess I do have some hang-ups, now that you mention it.
Well, good. Now we're getting somewhere. Let's work together, you and I. And I believe God, and you can do some great things together.
Look, Lord, I need to finish up here. So. So, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, okay, God, what does that mean?
It simply means I'll take care of both your practical and your spiritual needs every day as you seek me. And Josh, now I'm interested in this next part of the prayer.
But I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
I know what you're going to say.
Well, try me and see.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Well, what about...
See, I knew it. I knew you would bring them up. Why, Lord, you know what people say about me. You know what they've done to me. I know I was wrong to try and get even with them, but...
Josh, you need to forgive them.
But, Lord, I can't forgive them.
Do you want me to forgive you? Then you need to forgive.
Lord, you're right. I forgive them. I want to do the right things. Please help me. I'm really going to need your help, your grace, and your spirit.
Josh, I do forgive you, and I'll help you. Go on with your prayer.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, Josh, I'll do just that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can't be tempted.
I don't understand.
Sure you do. You know how you get caught in those bad situations? Josh, do not give the enemy a foothold in your life. Now go ahead and finish the prayer.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Do you know what would really bring me glory, Josh?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you. I can see what a real mess I've made out of my life, and I really want to be one of your disciples.
You just answered the question.
I did?
Yes, the thing that would really bring me glory is to have people like you truly love me and follow me. And I see that happening between us.
Lord, I give you my heart and my soul. And I'll serve you with all my strength. And I'll live for you alone. Amen.
Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. This morning as we sing this, I don't want it to be a song. I want it to be your prayer. I want to turn it into your lifestyle, not your song style. Some of the styles of songs, you go, I like that, I don't like that. But when it comes to life song, then I fall in love with it. Every breath, I don't know how many breaths you will breathe in this next hour or so, but I want you to know every breath I take, every moment of my life have your way. As you breathe in and out through this whole service, is it your desire for God to flood your life with His plan? Prepare your heart to say, Lord, I give you. The classic for this morning is known as the Lord's Prayer. That's how it's commonly known, but really it's more of a model prayer. It's a teaching prayer. It's a prayer for the disciples of Jesus Christ. How many are disciples of Jesus Christ in this place today? This prayer is for you. It's for me. A prayer for the followers of Jesus. Jesus wanted His disciples to learn how to pray. They wanted to learn how to pray. Because Jesus said, the things I hear, the things I do, or the things I do and the things I say are what I hear the Father say. And this morning, the only way we're going to hear those things is that we learn how to pray. Throughout this sermon today, we're not just going to learn it, we're going to do it. For he who is a hearer of the word and does it is a wise man. He who hears these words and does nothing with it is foolish. It's like you built your house on sand. And one day when the storms come and crash in, your house is nothing. But those who build on the rock, that means those who do it. Storms come, the winds blow, the waves rage and crash in, and the house is unscathed, untouched. Why? Because it was built on the rock. This morning, I want you to say this prayer with me. We've quoted it, we've said it, we've read it. But together in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, Jesus began and said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And would you pray it with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer simply begins with our Father. I remember as a young person, teenager, and band would happen, and right before we'd go on the field, the whole band would get together and our director would say, let's pray together, and we would pray this. As I continued to watch lives, I realized the prayer was nothing more than just repetitive. Unfortunately, in our lives, we have to always guard that. We always have to be careful to not allow things in our life to just become repetitive or just tradition. I love tradition, but if you understand what tradition is, you begin to honor it and not just repeat it because it is tradition. This prayer so many times is prayed, but I believe we just skim through it. It starts with our Father. I love this. This is the loving Father that we can come to. This is our Father who we can approach. Why? Because of grace. Because of grace, we can come to our Father's throne. Paul tells us that God is our Father. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Paul is telling us that He's the God of all compassion and mercy. He's the God of all comfort. Jesus' Father has become our Father. The psalmist wrote it in Psalm 103, verse 13, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. our Father desires to walk with us, to talk with us. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to pray to Him. The prayer goes on, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Our Father in heaven. One thing this means is that you need to know is that He is above all earthly fathers. You need to know there is absolutely no comparison between our heavenly Father and earthly fathers. I know so many times we thought, well, I'm supposed to look to a father, an earthly father, and he is a representation of the heavenly Father. No, he's not. We do our best as fathers to imitate the heavenly Father, but we are not the heavenly Father. There is no one that compares to Him. Don't even try it. He is the one who is in heaven. He is the one who is above all things. He is seated in the position of authority forever and ever. He has control of everything. He's the one we go to. He's the one we pray to. Our Father in heaven. He's the one who is over all things. Has control at every moment. Do you know He's King of Kings? He is Lord of Lords. Nehemiah writes it this way in chapter 1 and verse 5. "Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands." Our Father in heaven, how great You are! Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. It's amazing, sometimes we treat this part of the model prayer with less concern than the rest of it. We breeze through this part so fast because we want to get to the part about me. Meet my daily needs. Forgive me. All of that's wonderful and we'll get there. But please do not peruse through this first part too fast. If you ever capture "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." If you ever really get that, that's enough. Because it's Him, the Creator of all things, the Maker of my life, the One who has ordained my life, who knows everything about me. If I begin to really get it, that it's Him that I'm talking to, that's enough. This statement about "hallowed be Thy name" is more than just a statement. It is a prayer saying, "Let Your name, let Your person, let who You are be treated as holy. Let God Almighty be revered. Let Your name be the name above every name." Don't you believe God should be given the highest honor today? Listen to Exodus 20, verse 7, a command for us that you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. God's name represents who He is. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she encountered the angel Gabriel, listen to what she says in Luke 1:49, "For the Mighty One is holy, for He has done great things for me." Even Mary recognized the holiness of God and reverenced the One and who He was. Why? Because He was the Mighty One. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, hallowed, hallowed be Thy name. When have we really reverenced Him for who He is? He's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's all we need. You need to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible talks about God moving through His people in the congregation. This morning we received that. You not just need to fly over that. We just clap, but I'm telling you what, nothing is too hard for the Lord today. You need to hear that. That was repeated multiple times. You need to hear it. You need to let it settle in your spirit today. He says you need to recognize how great He is. See, I can't move on in this prayer till you really hallow His name. You realize how holy and how great He is. My goodness. This next part starts getting easier and easier. He goes on and He prays this. In Matthew 6:10, Jesus says, "Pray, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come. He's talking about the kingdom of God here. Do you know what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is simply God working through His church. It's the kingdom. The bride and the groom and the bride and the Spirit say, "Come." It's us working together with God. It's His kingdom. It's not some kingdom that's far off. It's kingdom now. The culmination of it all hasn't happened. But His kingdom is in us. In fact, listen to what Paul says in Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Folks, I look at the church sometimes. I wonder where the righteousness is. Sometimes I look at the church and I'm wondering, where's the peace? Other times I'll look and I'm like, where's the joy? It's in the Holy Spirit. It's because of the blood. It's because of His coming. He is peace. He is Prince of Peace. Folks, there's no problem with having a smile on your face as a Christian, as a believer, as one born again of God. Folks, we need to let people know. Paul says it's in you. Christ in you. God has put His kingdom within you. His kingdom life. God wants us to pray. He wants us to live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need to pray that the ultimate consummation of events will take place according to His will, as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. The statement, "Your will be done," basically says, not my will. Not what I want, not what I desire, but what You desire. This humbles us. It moves us to complete submission on our part. We have to know that God knows what He's doing. That we can put our full trust, our full confidence in God's ability and in His timing. Well, I believe the first part. God's great. He can do anything. I just wish He'd move now. Your will be done. Your will. That means Your timing also. And this is where we begin to surrender our ways. What is God's will? What is God's greatest desire? I love it. Peter gives us a glimpse of it. Do you remember the story of Peter? And he sees Jesus and he goes, "You're the Son of the living God." You remember that? And Jesus says, "It wasn't flesh and blood that revealed this, but it was My Father in heaven." And the next part we find just verses later, Jesus is telling His disciples, "I'm going to have to die for you." And Peter looks at Jesus and says, "No way, You're not going to die for Me." And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "What? Satan, get thee behind Me." But if you read the next part, we stop. Why do we stop reading? Keep reading. Why? Because Jesus said, "Peter, your mind is focused on human things, not the things of God." This is why I need to pray, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It may not work out like you think. Listen to what Peter teaches us in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness, but He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God desires that everybody be saved. That's God's heart. Why was the Bible written? To reveal God and His plan of salvation for you. This morning, and I wish I would have remembered, I would have done this. I wanted to put three crosses at the door. I forgot all about this. This is my illustration this morning, so I'll tell you. Is it what I wanted? When we leave, you're going to have to walk over the cross. And you're going to have to deny the cross if you're not going to live it. We either walk the way of the cross or we walk past it and ignore it. God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody. Forget skin tones. Forget backgrounds. Forget social status. God is interested in the soul of every person in this room, in this county, in this state, in this country, in this world. Every soul matters. Every soul. That's God's heart. You want to pray your will be done? Remember the question to Josh? What are you doing about it? It's more than praying it. It's living it. In fact, if you're in this room this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because He died on a cross for you. And the Bible simply says that if you will believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Because it's not a matter of works. It's not a matter of church attendance. It's a matter of the heart and the mind meeting with belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads? Across this building this morning, if you've never accepted or maybe you've run away from God and it's time to come home and you're here and we're talking to God today and you're saying, Lord, I really want to talk to you again. He'll accept you in a heartbeat. All across this room, in the balcony or the main floor, you just begin to lift your hand saying, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior today. I want Him to be Lord of my life, Lord of my situations. Maybe it's for the very first time. Maybe it's because you've run away and you're coming back and saying, I got to surrender my life. I got to give it all. Right now, lift your hands up in the balcony, in the main floor. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Just slip it up and right back down. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? I want us to pray with these today. Talk about going to God in prayer. What greater way to pray, your will be done. For these that lifted their hands this morning, I want you to pray out loud and everybody will pray it with you because we believe in this place that all of us has to have that cleansing daily. What better time than to start our week with a cleansing of our lives? Would you pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus your Son. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Of my past and move into my life by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. All of heaven is kicking up a party right now. God's will. God's will. As it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. We need to pray for lost people. We need to pray for our nation. I want you to know, I believe it is our duty and our responsibility as citizens of the United States to go out and vote on Tuesday. I encourage you to do so. But when the end of the day comes, it won't be because of our votes. It will be because of God Almighty, that He has placed who He desires into authority because we have prayed, Your will be done. Well, let me tell you a lesson I learned. How many read the Bible? A hit, raise your hand. Folks, so many times when I read it and I read it over so fast, I miss things. But that part where it says, pray for those in authority and pray for your kings. I believe in that. But the Lord opened my eyes to a little simple statement right in the midst of that. And He said, I want you to read it backwards. And so I did. And this is basically what it says backwards. For those in authority and for kings, I want you to give thanks and make intercession. Pray for them and make requests. Well, see, I read requests, prayers, and intercession and give thanks. For those in authority, I'd always go back to the praying. Because I get caught praying my will. God, I want you to get them out of office. God, I want you to... You with me? But God said, no, how about my will? Why don't you give thanks for them? Wow, I could have had a V8. It's just that, it's that way. You're just like, I didn't get it. But when we begin to pray for our nation, I want you to begin to thank God for whoever He puts in authority. And if you will make intercession for them, you begin to say, God, they're going to need wisdom. God, they're going to need guidance. God, they're going to need Your Holy Spirit in that White House. God, they're going to need that Congress where they meet. That prayer, I pray, Lord, when they start off their session and they pray each day, I pray You fill that prayer with Your Holy Spirit. Do you know they still do that? But if we made intercession, if we given thanks, are we making our requests and our prayers according to God's will? Here's what I want us to do. Right now, in this place, I want you to pray two things. I want you to pray for your lost family members. I want you to pray for your lost community, for souls that need to come into the kingdom. And then I want you to pray for our nation. I want you to pray for that election. I want you to pray about your dutiful responsibility that you need to do, and God help me get there, because that is our responsibility. Obey the laws of the land. It is a privilege, but it is our responsibility. And we need to do it. I want you to just begin to pray right now. Just begin to pray. Father, I just pray for lost people. God, there are communities surrounding this church. People sitting at home right now. Lord, they don't know You. I pray for them. God, I want You to move in their homes and their lives. I pray that You put Your Shekinah glory over this church. God, that this, we become a lighthouse to this community. God, that You would begin to send the beams out. And God, they would penetrate, that Your light would touch the darkness of this world. Lord, I just pray, God, for my family members. God, I pray that those that don't know You, Lord, help me. Help me reach into their lives. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would save lost people. God, for these that raised their hands this morning, I pray, Lord, that You would walk in make them walk in a secure way today as they come and they made that confession of faith today. But Lord, surround them with people that will grow them and that will help them and mentor them. Oh, Lord, I pray for our nation. Oh, God, we need Your hand upon our nation again. Would You come and walk the shores of our nation? Lord, would You bring righteousness upon us? Lord, I give thanks for those that You have put in authority. I thank You for them. And Lord, I make intercession on their behalf today. That God, You would give them wisdom. that you would place around them men and women that will speak life and hope and peace. God, give them thoughts that are way beyond any thoughts they could ever have. Lord, reveal yourself, I pray. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. For as it is in heaven, Lord, let obedience rule on earth. For obedience is better than sacrifice. So help us become obedient believers. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've been praying for in our church, in our leadership of the church, is for God to send us different individuals that will help us do what He's called us to do. And this morning I have the great privilege of bringing before you another assistant pastor who will be helping in our student ministry department. And this morning I want to welcome on board Pastor Art Thomas. Would you come? Art has history here at the church. Thank God he erases history. You laugh. As Art and I have talked, there's a lot of things that God has worked in him. He feels a call to ministry. As we sat in my office, and I just heard his heart. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we ever were perfect. You don't want to know my past. You don't want to know my past. And I appreciate, because I believe God has brought you for such a time as this. That's the way God works. He works His will in our lives. He places, and in fact, the Bible says He takes from one fold and puts it in another fold. That's just the way He works. And Pastor Art, I want to welcome you on board, but this morning I want to begin because Jesus did something with those under His direction, and that was He washed their feet. This morning, Jesus illustrated for us an incredible thing by washing the feet of His disciples. It's amazing He even washed Judas's feet, the one who would betray Him. Why? He was a servant. And all I want you to know is that our title is pastor. They simply mean shepherd. We're one who cares for. And this morning, as I bring another assistant pastor on board, I don't want to release him into service without him knowing that he's being served. And so that's why I take this time. When we have those new ones come on, because it's important to me. Pastor Art, this morning, I want to thank you for joining us and bringing all your gifts and all your what God has placed in you. You're bringing to us. From the beginning of your life, God ordained certain days for you, and here it is. It's at least another one. I don't know what the future holds, but I want you to know I'm your servant. God has placed me to be here, a servant of all, but I've got to serve my pastors. I want to watch over your life. I want you to grow. I want you to be mentored. I want you to flourish in the Lord. I want you to fulfill everything that God's ever intended for you. So this morning, I wash your feet. Why? Because our Lord Jesus daily forgives our sins. And wherever our feet go, He washes them. So there'll be no memory of the past. He cleanses us, makes us clean, because He loves us. Pastor Jason, would you come? You're going to be working with and serving under Pastor Jason. And Pastor Jason, I invite you because he'll be under you, but you are his servant. You serve him. He will serve others. And we pass this all again and again, illustrating what Jesus did for us. So I'm going to ask you to wash his other foot as this is humbling, folks, to put your feet out in front for somebody else. Peter had a problem with it, remember? But this is where we humble ourselves, and now we become servants of others. Go ahead and take that. Pastor Art, you can stand for a moment. I'll let you put your shoes on in a moment. This morning, I pass this towel on to you as a reminder of serving others, that we have been called to service, not to authority, not to lord it over people, but to serve. So, it's not a title that you get, but a towel you get, because we've been called to serve one another. Serve them all. Serve them well. Serve them with the love of the Lord. Pour into lives, our kids, our young adults, our children. I know you're helping with nursery and all kinds of areas. This towel will be your reminder of your call continually. Father, I just thank you for Pastor Art today. Lord, thank you for sending him to us and having your way in this place. Thank you for revealing your will to us. Now, Lord, move in his life. And Lord, let him serve faithfully. For well done, we'll hear, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, we are called to complete the task that you have left for us. To tell lost people of your love, to sow your word, to bring hope to the lost. In Jesus' name, put your anointing upon his life. Amen. Amen. Would you welcome again Pastor Art? Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the gifts. He'll be serving as part of our student ministry. Pastor Jason's the lead. And he'll be along with Pastor Scott, now Pastor Art, as assistant pastors under him. And we're just glad to have you on board. The next part of this prayer is pretty simple. It says, give us today our daily bread. I mean, I really believe this is simply God meeting our basic needs. Do you remember Psalm 23 that we preached on a few weeks ago? The Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Raha. But we learned in that he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. You need another name that God uses for himself is El Shaddai. That means he's the more than enough God. He's our all-sufficient one. You have to know that our complete dependency has to be on God. We can ask, pray for the temporal things we need, like food, clothing, transportation, housing. But you need to know that none of those are an end in themselves. They're temporal. It's amazing how much faith you have in your car. Most of you went out to it this morning. You put the key in it. And by faith, you turned that key and said, I know this car will crank. There may have been a few of you put the key in. And you were by faith hoping it would crank. But what if we had that kind of faith in God? That when we pray, we put the key in. That when I say, Lord, would you give me today my daily bread? And he will. Why? Because he takes care of his children. You need to understand the temporal things that we pray for are just for a day. But we need to ask for them day by day. But something else you need is spiritual bread. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 4:4 says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Did you know Jesus is the bread of life? John records it for us in John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. God wants to feed us through His Word. His Holy Spirit will enlighten, will reveal the Word to us as we need it daily. For Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. We need to pray to Him daily, for practical needs and for spiritual needs. For practical and spiritual bread each day. We need to ask God for the portion that I need today. And we need only believe that He will provide everything you need. So say, only believe. Verse 12, Jesus teaches them to pray this way. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We all need the mercy and the forgiveness of God. When we realize how needy we are, once again, it humbles us. We need to learn, though, that forgiveness walks hand in hand with forgiving others. Learning to let go of the hurt and the pain that others have caused us. That is how God wants you to live, free of that mess. You need to forgive everyone who's ever hurt you. Whether it was a real hurt or it was something you imagined. It's amazing how our minds trigger things up and say, I know what they're thinking about me right now. You need to forgive them. You need to let it go. I'm telling you, unforgiveness will lead you to be bitter and hateful and unloving. But if you will let it go, as God has forgiven you, forgive my debts, forgive my sins as I forgive, God. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. God isn't holding on to yours. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, to the deepest part of the sea, to be remembered no more. Why do I need to remember what people have done against me? I've been called to love. Forgive. Lord, forgive us. Lord, I want to forgive others. Because of the cross, we have found a forgiveness. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, because of His great love and His great grace, we have been forgiven. We've been washed clean. No longer anything is held against us. Why would we hold anything against anybody? Thanks be to God for the power of the cross. Amen. This morning I want to remember this portion as those who are serving communion come. They're going to serve you and we're going to sing this worship song. But it's because of a cross. Jesus died and He said, Father, forgive them in all of His pain. And that's what we're going to do today. As you are being served, I'm going to tell you this. This may be the hardest moment you've ever had. But if you hold anything against anybody, this is the time to take it and make it right. You say, well, people are going to look at me funny. If it's somebody in this room, I'm going to tell you, go to them. It's okay. It will free you. It will make your life free. Why? Because He's forgiven me. And we're about to remember what He did for us. To do. And He told us to remember Him. Remember Him in His death. That's how He wanted us to remember Him. This is what I want you to remember. Now, there's another part of it, it's the resurrection. Boy, we get excited. We sing songs about the grave bursting open. And man, I hear you. Yeah. Folks, I want you to know there's just about as much yeah and touchdown excitement happened when he died on that cross than at any other time. Why? It's because he gave his life for you. It was at the cross that our sin was washed away. Yes, it's at the resurrection that gave us hope of our resurrection. But it was at the cross he paid the ultimate price for us. He took his body. It was broken. The bread of life. See? That's why we remember him. He's our life. And this morning we take small parts of unleavened bread to remember that his body was broken for us and that we have become the body of Christ. Us linked with the other believers in this community and churches that are preaching his glorious gospel. We link with them and we're all part of the body. And God has called us to remember that. So this morning we take the bread. It says that he gave thanks. Wow. Prior to him dying, he gave thanks for what he was about to do. Now we give thanks for what he did. For Lord, your body was broken so that we could be made whole. And I praise you for it. And I thank you. And Lord, as we partake, I pray that we remember and we'll never forget what an awesome price you paid. Amen. Let's take. And then here it is. For in his blood, we take grape juice to help us remind us the color there, to remind us the blood he shed. And also that he was crushed. He was bruised for our iniquities. Just like a grape was crushed and poured out its life, he was crushed and poured out his life. And you are covered. One of the most beautiful images in the Word of God is when Moses was instructed to tell them to slaughter a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost of the home. That when death would come and it would see the blood, it would pass over the home. You today have applied the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to the doorpost of your heart, to the doorpost of your life. And I'm telling you, when second death comes along, it passes over. So you'll have life forevermore. That's what he's given us. We are covered by his blood. We are under the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for shedding and giving your life's blood for us. Lord, though I struggle still with understanding it all, I believe it with all my heart, and I accept what you did for me. I believe it by faith today. In the name of Jesus, we give praise and honor for our Savior. Amen. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Jesus continued to teach them in Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We just prayed a part that said, forgive us of our debts. I want you to know that deals with our past. But this portion, lead us not into temptation, deals with my future. It deals with when we walk out of this building today. For a truly repentant person is not only concerned about their past, but is concerned about the days ahead and how I'm going to walk my life out. We have to be careful of temptation. There will be trials and tests. There will be enticements out there to do the wrong thing. And we need to be careful about allowing wrong plans or thoughts or imaginations to enter into our thought patterns. And we need to ask God to help us. Help me with my thought life. For listen to what Peter teaches us in 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Paul goes on and tells us in Ephesians 4:27, and do not give the devil a foothold. We need to pray and ask God to lead us and to guide us. We need the Spirit of the living God to speak to us. John records Jesus' words. Here's what Jesus said to them in 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. We need the Spirit of God to help us in our daily lives. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't know what you're going to encounter this week, but I'm telling you, when you walk out these doors, there's an enemy who will press in on you. But I want you to know, you submit yourself to God. You can resist the devil, and the Bible says he'll flee. Folks, there's an authority and a place that Jesus says you can pray this way. Lead us not into temptation. So when you step out there, all the tempter will be there. But the Word of God is alive in your heart and your mind. And it says, boy, I've got that Word. And that Word says, I shouldn't think that way. The Word says, I shouldn't act that way. The Word says, I shouldn't do that or do this. The Lord says, I should be a lighthouse. I should be salt. That's what you're called to be. And that's what you can do. But you need to pray. I want you to take a moment in this moment. And this is for you. Because I don't know what you're going to face. I'm not going to pray this one. This is your prayer. Lord, help me. Guide me. I don't want to be caught. I don't want to be tempted. And whatever the enemy has schemed, you pray. Say, Lord, put a halt to it in the name of Jesus. Would you begin to pray right now? The enemy would seek to destroy what you're doing today in the lives of people. Lord, as a church, I ask you to put a hedge around us. Lord, I ask you to put a guard around our lives. And God, I pray that you would place your word within us that it brings life and not death. And Lord, whatever the enemy may have conjured up against us, I pray that just like when you rose from the grave, you already knew what you were going to do. Lord, when you died on the cross, he may have thought he had won. But Lord, the victory is yours today. Lord, we have submitted ourselves and we know who you are. And you said for us to pray, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. So whatever is ahead this week, I pray for these that are sitting here. Lord, that you will free them from the enemy's clutches and plan in Jesus' name. And that you would have your way in their life. For your glory we pray. Amen. This last part of this verse says this, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I love because I think praise at the end of our prayer time is appropriate. Not only starting our prayer with, hallowed be thy name, that was wonderful, but ending our prayer with the same idea that God is great and greatly to be praised. That he is the only one that is to be worshipped. Do you remember his kingdom come? For thine is the kingdom. Do you see the proclamation? You are still the king of the kingdom. And I know that you'll accomplish everything you've planned. Every place you put your foot. Lord, just like last week, wherever we put, God goes with us. And wherever our foot goes, he gives us the victory. Why? It's his kingdom. The Bible says, goes on, for yours is the power. Do you know he's our supply? He's your forgiver. He's your deliverer. Listen to how Jude puts it in 1:25. At the end of his little book, he says, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. For yours is the glory. Did you know that God deserves all the praise, all the exaltation? And how long does He deserve it for? Forever. And He ends by saying, amen, or so be it. I love this. The Bible says one day we'll be in heaven and we'll be with all the saints. And we'll be saying this, salvation belongs to our God, for to Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Listen to this next part. Everyone in heaven, all the creatures, all the elders, all the angels, they begin to bow down. And they begin to let their accolades of praise begin. In Revelation 7:12, it says, they're saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You want to know what's going to happen? He's going to get the glory. Nobody else. And we ought to be doing the same today. Why should we be worshiping this way? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He should be receiving our praise and our honor because there is no one like Him. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's our Redeemer, our Savior, the Great Shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the great I Am. He's the light of the world. He's our resurrection. He is our life. He's the Lamb of God. He's the solid rock. He's everything we need. Why does He deserve the praise? Because we just asked Him to move on our behalf. And He who hears the prayers, He says, I'll do it. So why don't we begin to praise Him and give Him the thanks.
Hallelujah.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. His name reverenced as we live, as we walk, as we do what He calls us to do. We go ahead and pray, Lord, Your will be done. You accomplish whatever You desire. Oh, Lord, would You meet my needs? And, oh, God, forgive me and help me forgive others. And, Lord, don't want to walk in the way of being the tempter. But, God, I want to walk in the way of testimony. Amen. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it. Church, I want you to use this. It may not happen in an hour of prayer. It may not happen in a 10-minute prayer. It may happen all day long. But when you rise in the morning, I pray that on your lips you will be hallowing the name of God. Lord, You're going to be with me today. It's going to be a good day because You're a good God. As you walk through the day, you're going to need His supply, His help, His Spirit, His life. And when the end of the day comes, I don't care what's happened. It's time to say, oh God, to You be the glory forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray as we leave this place, Lord, thank You for this time with You. Lord, we've enjoyed each other's fellowship. But Lord, we've enjoyed Your fellowship. The Lord, let it happen according to Your will. Let it be done according to Your plan as we submit our wills to Yours. And God, do come and meet the needs of these people. Supply for them. Do the miracle. Do the impossible today. For nothing is too hard or impossible with You. We love You. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. It says the people clapped their hands and they shouted to God, the voice of triumph.